Okay, this is the orientation workshop. We are being recorded, and I will start the meeting. Welcome to the orientation meeting for leaders and all others, and let us open with a serenity prayer, please. God, grant me the serenity.
Grant me the serenity
to accept, the things I cannot change.
The courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will not be done.
Amen.
Okay, Mary Beth will be our spiritual timekeeper when we have the Q&A. She will take two-minute time comments or questions. The objective for this workshop is to share tips for meetings to run smoothly, keeping in mind that meetings have complete autonomy. The following are suggestions only. Upon becoming a leader, you will receive the meeting leader codes. Do not share with others. Familiarize yourself with using the meeting codes. If there is a second person who has come on as leader, it doesn't affect being able to mass mute, except that the second leader cannot be muted. Mass mute as soon as you notice background noise. Steve, are you there? When we come back to the part where Steve shares, Mary Beth, are you able to share now? Mary Beth is en route, and why don't I read Steve's part? Okay.
I can share, I think.
Okay, great.
Yeah. You might have to fill in if I miss some things here.
Okay, no problem. Mary Beth, please go on.
So one of the things I wanted to just talk about was the when there are difficult situations on a meeting, and a lot of times that happens because someone is not paying attention to the part of the format that says, you know, we don't allow crosstalk, we don't bring out outside issues like other religious traditions or other 12-step groups or food or politics or anything that's outside of recovery. See how recovery. So one of the best things that we can do when that happens during a meeting is for the leader to interrupt politely and respectfully. You know, you don't need to be an angry, crazy person because, you know, you spoke off topic or someone spoke off topic or didn't talk about recovery. Just to politely and directly say that we don't share about, you know, whatever it was. We don't share about specific foods at these meetings. We don't bring in outside issues, we don't talk about other religions, we don't cross-talk and make comments toward other people, whatever the fill-in-the-blank, you know, we don't do that at this meeting. And that sometimes can be enough. And sometimes it's not quite enough. There may be somebody's emotions got, you know, really triggered or you know, something's going on with them, and it just gets kind of out of hand, and there's crosstalk going back and forth, and all of a sudden the leader has lost total control of facilitating the meeting running smoothly. So because we are on the phone bridge, we can mass mute and come back on. The leader comes back on and maybe calls for the serenity prayer, and then just a reminder about that paragraph that we have in the format. You know, maybe even to just read that paragraph again. You know, we don't have crosstalk. We don't talk about outside issues. So that we, you know, think that is one way of handling it when it gets sort of out of control. And you know, just people are human, and so our humanness comes out. Yeah, so that's all I really have on that, unless you have some more to add to that, Cheryl.
Thank you, Mary Beth. And one thing that I know that I have to keep in mind, that we need to uphold the traditions, and so a tradition is being violated, then I know that I need to, as a leader, I need to say something. And even if I'm not a leader, if I'm there and things are getting really excitable and it's disruptive, it's inappropriate dialogue, it's important. I mean, we've discussed this many times. Some people will say, well, I don't want to embarrass that person, and I don't want them to feel bad. Why don't we discuss this after the meeting, or perhaps call that person afterwards in a private call? And the point that I see, that why this doesn't really make sense to me, is number one, this person, the people on the group, everyone else on the group, whose serenity is being disturbed at this meeting, that's number one, they won't know, especially the newcomers, they won't know that this is not appropriate, that this is not the way we lead meetings. So by letting that person just sort of, let's say, get away with it or continue on with disrupting, that's not going to help anyone if we don't address it. So I feel that it's important to address it in a calm, kind, compassionate way, just making sure that we're upholding traditions and we can allow this to continue, and that mass mute, if that need be. And then, of course, the serenity prayer, as Mary Beth says, helps me a lot and usually helps calm things down. So that's what I can share on this topic. I know it's hard for some leaders to do that. They're not comfortable. They're not, you know, they might feel that they're going to get some flack from the other people. Why'd you do it? But I always need to remember that my recovery comes first. My program comes first. And see how is the most important thing in my life. And the traditions, the steps and traditions. So if I know I'm doing the right thing by upholding traditions, I feel more comfortable doing that. And because we need to make sure that anybody comes to these meetings comes here because they want experience, strength, and hope. And that's it. Just experience, strength, and hope, and everyone's sharing is when we get that. Okay, Steve, are you on?
Mary Beth, in case if he's not on, I could make another comment or two.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
Okay. You know, I think, you know, with what you just said, Cheryl, that's really important, that the role of the leader for the meeting is to keep the meeting running smoothly. And it's really important for the benefit of the whole group who's ever attending that meeting that it keeps going smoothly. When there are major disruptions in that, and it's not handled right away, then it can kind of snowball, and all of a sudden it becomes, you know, a big issue where maybe it didn't need to be a big issue. And I think if leaders can remember that it's really their responsibility, that's their service to that meeting, is to do all they can to help the meeting run smoothly. And, you know, sometimes you do all you can and still something will happen and then you have to just, you know, deal with that. But, you know, not to be, you know, none of us wants to be hurt someone else's feelings or embarrass them. And that's not the point of what, you know, of jumping in there. The point of interrupting is to, you know, say that this is about recovery. Like Cheryl just said, that it's about sharing our strength and hope in recovery. And so we need to help each other do that. And then if the leader is just absolutely not able to interrupt and there is, you know, something disruptive going on, then someone else in the meeting has the right to speak up and say, you know, we don't talk about outside issues at this meeting. Again, not to be mean or to embarrass, but to just very politely, respectfully say, you know, we need to stay with the focus of the meeting.
Thank you, Mary Beth. Appreciate that. Okay, we do have two more topics, but I'm going to go to the last one first, and then we'll come back if Steve comes back on. Okay, so the topic is the suggestion here is to delete the following from meeting formats. This is what we suggest to delete. And again, remember that every meeting is autonomous, and you can change formats or not change formats at your business meeting after the meeting. Okay, so for those of you who are here new to See How, we have volunteers who will stay after the meeting to answer your questions, help you get a sponsor. You must have a sponsor to receive the food plan. May I have a volunteer to stay and assist newcomers? So our suggestion is to delete this part of the format. Insert the following to meeting formats. Newcomers and returnees, please call me, Leader, with any questions about the See How program. My name is such and such, and this is my phone number. If the leader is not able to be available to newcomers, she can ask for a volunteer or he can ask for a volunteer who will give number for newcomers to call. Or they might email phonebridgechair@gmail.com or any other person on the board. Now, then you can insert the following also. All are welcome to gather after the meeting for fellowship and chit-chat. This is similar to gathering in the parking lot after a face-to-face meeting. The rationale for this, for deleting the top paragraph and for inserting the other two, is it is difficult to have an open time for conversation after the meeting and at the same time to keep the conversation focused on recovery for newcomers. At a face-to-face meeting, people gather in the parking lot or they go out for coffee after the meeting, and they will talk about whatever they want. If there are newcomers present, please be mindful of questions or shares they might have. So what we are trying to do here is separate slash divorce the meeting from the fellowship chit-chat. There have been a lot of situations recently where there have been either leaders or people chatting on the fellowship time, and there have been things way off topic, things that were embarrassing, things where we know for a fact of at least one newcomer that said they'd never come back, and the other, I had another call where someone said she was embarrassed, she was intimidated and feeling very uncomfortable. Now, you know, a newcomer comes in, has no idea what this group is like, what this meeting program is like, hears this at a fellowship and thinks, well, that's not for me, and leaves, not knowing that that's just fellowship chit-chat. So we're trying to completely remove and divorce the meeting from the fellowship, and so that there's no confusion. When the meeting is over, the newcomer or anyone else knows that the meeting is done, and now we can talk fellowship. And, of course, we can discuss questions or anything the newcomer has. And we have shares, but the onus is not on the leader of the meeting or anyone else in terms of being responsible for that fellowship. I will take a question now.
Hi, this is Elizabeth, Compulsive Eater. Can we ask any question on this?
Or? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Thank you for this wonderful workshop. I came in a little bit late. I'm not sure when you started. I came in just about 15 minutes ago. All right. Now, here, I'll just say, in the after meeting, people think they can start mentioning foods. Okay, yes, but we don't have See How meeting, but I think that maybe, perhaps, in the meeting, we could say, you know, we want to stress for the good of the fellowship and the good of the newcomer, that we still continue not to mention specific foods, and to remember that we need to ask for newcomers first, and to try to keep to the topic at hand, i.e. the 7 tools and the 12 steps, so that we carry experience, strength, and hope, because sometimes what I've heard is people start getting very personal, like you were saying. And these are people who are old-timers. They're around. They've been there. They continue to want to, I haven't heard you in so long time. Oh, I loved your share, blah, blah, blah. And it becomes kind of more singular, and therefore people who are newcomers or people who might want to talk about their issues about food and their struggles or whatever. They can't because it's become a more personalized chit-chat, like you said. So I wish that we had something in the format that would suggest that, even though it's an after meeting, try to keep to the issues at hand so we can help the newcomer.
Okay, two minutes are up. And let me try to answer. I'm sorry for interrupting, but we're really strapped
for time. Oh, okay.
So I'm trying to get more people to have a chance to share. So it's just two-minute shares. Okay, I'll try to answer that, and then Mary Beth, you can. We are trying to get away from that. We are not police. We don't ever police. And the fellowship is a part where you really do chit-chat, and you can talk about anything you like, trying to keep it positive. Definitely not personal, positive. But in order not to have to be in charge, we are not really in charge, but we have no rules for fellowship. That's what it is, no rules. And there will be nothing in the meeting, so to speak, according to this, that will give any kind of a structure or guidelines, in fact, for the fellowship. It'll just be that. It'll just be like a parking lot, discussing things. Hopefully people will be discussing program, but if not, that's okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Hey, Cheryl, this is Adele. Can I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Excuse me. Wait.
I heard Adele first. Mary Beth, is that you?
Yes, I'm able to time now, so I just wanted to let you know that.
Thanks so much. Adele, go ahead.
Okay, well, my thing is, can we just get back to the meetings and not the fellowship meeting. Can we ask the leaders to stick to the format? Because I noticed in a while people changing the format. They're asking people, let's go around and everybody tell who they are and where they're from, and that take a lot of time away from the meeting if you know 50 or 40 people on the phone bridge and everybody come in and chime in who they are and where they're from. So can we just give our leaders a friendly reminder to stick to the format, and if they want any changes, for them to do it in a business meeting, please?
Adele, I hear you, and actually we have a topic on that that issue, and I probably should do it if Steve's not here. But in answer to your question, basically, is that each meeting should have a business meeting where you can discuss just that. You can change the format. You can have all the leaders there and discuss just the problem that you just mentioned, that it takes up a lot of time, and you'd rather not. But, that you need to bring that to your business meeting and discuss it there, vote on it, and either change or not change the format. So on that topic, let me just go ahead with what we – unfortunately, we only put a half hour into this.
Point of order. Cheryl, I just this is Vanessa, and I'm an intergroup rep, and we voted this down. This was brought to intergroup, and this was voted down to not have a newcomer greeter and to not put in the language in every meeting format. Of course, individual meetings can do their own thing, but I don't feel like this is appropriate because we've already voted it down in intergroup. Is my understanding that to have the newcomer call the meeting leader, who is already doing a whole ton of service, to be forced to, you know, take all the calls also feels really unfair to me. And, so that's what
I
want.
I'll try to address that. Thank you, Vanessa. And yes, thank you for bringing that up. Well, there's two things. First of all, this is not a motion, and we're not going to vote on it. And the second thing is that we're just bringing it up for people to think about, you know. The fact that not every leader will want to be there and be available for answering questions, we understand that, and therefore, we ask for anybody else, like they would be fellowshipping, leading a fellowship, would you like to have your number, give your number for newcomers to call, or they can call us at the PhoneBridge chair or perhaps also PhoneBridge vice chair and get help there. Again,
I'm sorry, Cheryl, but I know, but you're PhoneBridge chair, so what you say has a lot of weight, and you're suggesting something that we have already voted down in intergroup within the last year, and if you're promoting it at a meetings workshop, it sounds like the way everybody feels, and it's not. So I don't feel that this is appropriate to bring this up because we have already voted it down. I don't feel like this is a proper venue for this suggestion, and I understand why people are passionate about this, but I'm as passionate about the other side, so I just don't feel like this is appropriate.
Okay, so Vanessa, let me just ask you a question, and I really don't know the answer to it, so I'm asking you. If this was voted down and, say, 2 months later someone brought it up again as a new motion, would that be okay? This is not a motion, but I'm saying that there are such things where we can bring it back up. Is that correct?
Yeah, if there's new information, yes. If not, then I think you have to just let it go. I mean, that for a year or two, I don't feel like that to keep bringing back the same topic again and again and again when it's already been voted on since September and December, no.
Well, let me ask you something else, Vanessa. What do you suggest on separating the meeting from the Foambridge, from the fellowship? In other words, not having anything to do with it, having people understand that the meeting is complete, it's done when the hour is up, and what you hear at the fellowship has nothing to do with the meeting per se. How would you deal with that?
I would deal with that, and that I would trust people's intelligence to figure that out and understand, just like any 12-step room, what happens after the meeting is not in the meeting. It's the parking lot. People can talk and share, and we don't censor. We're not police, and we don't tell them that they can only call one person. We let them talk, and I'm sorry there have been incidences where people have not gotten on or there's been, you know, way off topic or whatever, but that's fellowship time. I mean, that's what it is, and it's not the meeting, and we changed it to not say the after meeting. We changed it to fellowship time for that very reason, and So I just trust people's intelligence to go to a few meetings and figure it out really quick.
Okay, I'm not going to continue with this because I hear what you're saying, and I really respect that. What I will say, though, is the reason for this orientation workshop, why did the idea come up, was because we were having a lot of trouble the last few weeks with the fellowship being completely in disarray. People were being embarrassed. There was a lot of obscene stuff going on, and it was really, really rough, and we didn't know how to deal with it. So, and it was affecting the group and CHOW as a whole. And so it wasn't just a question of one meeting or someone understanding that the fellowship is not the meeting. It was really very bad. So we're trying to figure out, again, on how to deal with it. And so even if we need to keep reminding people that fellowship is just that, it's not the meeting, there are still going to be a lot of people that don't know it, don't understand, don't get it. And as an executive board, we need to let them know. We need to uphold the traditions. We can't allow for that to happen. People have no right to embarrass other people, to make them feel bad, to make them feel intimidated and scared to come to another fellowship or meeting in general. All right, to get away from that topic.
This is Mary Beth. Just so that you know, we have two more minutes before 5 minutes before the hour in case
okay.
You need to be
So I'll cover this. Thank you, Mary Beth. I appreciate that. I'll cover this real quickly. We will have another of these orientation workshops, and we'll probably make them a little lengthier. And I'd love to hear people hear the feedback and hear people's opinions and comments. Very important. It's the only way we know how to run these.
I have another comment to make.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'd like to know when we have a leader on the line and we know that there is a leader leading the meeting, why does somebody feel it's their right to be on the phone? And if somebody says, hey, could you please leave the leader a phone and just go be part of the group? And they still refuse. They don't say, oh, it's me on the line. They just want to stay there and just, I don't even understand that. But I feel that's, no one should have that kind of privilege where they think they can just go ahead and stand and just be there when you have a leader on the code. Thank you.
Okay, that's a good question. Elizabeth, you're saying that when there are more than one leaders on a meeting? Okay, now this is the thing. Sometimes
yes.
People do not understand, and this is a thing that I have more knowledge because I've been the Foambridge coordinator and have a lot of access to free conference call. Anybody can call them and find this out. They have what they say, you can have 1,000 people on a line and as many leaders as you like will not affect the meeting per se. In other words, if I want to mass mute, I'm a leader, I want to mass mute, it doesn't matter how many other leaders are on. I can still mass mute. The only problem is that if the other leader does not mute herself or himself, they cannot be muted by the first leader. So we hope that
exactly.
the person gets on as a leader and mutes himself. They can stay there forever. Not a problem. But so I wouldn't panic.
I just want to know why they feel they can just stay there for me. Why? What's the point of doing that? Why not
You're
being
right.
a part of the group? And I find that kind of egocentric.
Well, I'll tell you why sometimes that's very necessary. Sometimes if there's something going on or anything, like if someone needs to see how many people are in the meeting and bring that back to the group, there are reasons where it's okay. I'm not saying it's right, and I don't think it's fair, because what if you do forget to ask the
leader how many are on the group.
Okay, I'm just giving you ideas why someone might be on there, but it's not a good idea. I certainly agree with you. I think there should be one leader, and that's all. The leader gets to mass mute, and there should be no one else on. I agree with you. Any other questions? So I guess...
Hi, Cheryl. It's Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Compulsive eater. I agree that this is probably too short an amount of time, considering we have an intergroup meeting. I was under the impression that this would be a workshop for how to moderate a meeting, leading toward people who would be interested in learning how to moderate a meeting. I think we've got plenty already of, you know, the governing and the policing and the things like that. I don't think it's that necessary. So I was under the mistaken impression that it would be more to help people to do service so that we could have more service people as moderators. Thank you.
I hear you, Susan, and the part where Steve was going to speak on that topic, just that, is about sharing and starting the meeting, closing and stuff like that, but he didn't have I guess he couldn't get on, and I don't really, well, let me just tell you what was on there.
Yeah, Cheryl, just so you know, it's 4:57.
I can do it in a minute. But I'm sorry, Susan, right. It's what we should have done, and the last topic was the one I mentioned, and that should probably have not been here. It should not have been part of this. Could have done it another time. And anyway, we're just learning, always learning. Get as many people as possible to share at the meeting. These are ways of providing a little more time for sharing. Again, these are just suggestions. Possible options might be start closing the meeting 10 minutes instead of 15 minutes before the end. Allow time for written announcement only sent to the intergroup. Thank each person for reading or sharing immediately, only after they read or share. Not continue on in the meeting. Have a list of thank yous. Delete this line in the format. Are there any compulsive eaters here besides myself? There always is. Identify yourself by first name only. Not really necessary. These are just suggestions. And include the seven traditions at the beginning of the meeting and leave the rest of the meeting for sharing. Many meetings have done that, and that's an idea. And then attend the group's business meeting and ask for suggestions from the group. Very important. So these are things that a leader can do or can share with the business meeting and make decision there. Take it to vote or just decide what you want to do. These are things that help a leader make sure that there's more time for shares at the meeting. We really accept comments and suggestions for the next workshop, and we have to set a date for the next orientation. If people have enjoyed it or think that it's necessary, please let us know. If not, we won't have another one. And send all your comments and to phonebridgechair@gmail.com. And we really hope that you do that so we can know whether this was something we need to do again. And we will get better at it. Sorry about that. Got to go. We have the 1 minute to get to the intergroup meeting. Thank you all. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.